I just saw some kids that come to our church.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I stood at a sign up, Thomas, I mean, he used to collect them for church all the time. He always stepped on one and said, like, oh, look at me. He's like, hey, that's Pastor Ben. And so, I saw him. You know, don't worry, it's Thomas. All right, so if you want to stand where the building is, it's not that hard. If you see someone, like, trying to engage in a conversation, kind of play over here, but if you feel like any better for you to talk to that,
right,
and just pull them in. Sometimes I've even had people try to ask me directions and stuff. And it's just, it's you're sharing some truth from the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about God, who God is, who the Son of God is, the Savior, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sin. I don't know if you know God in a personal way, but God desires to know us in a personal way. He knows all about us. He's all-knowing. There's nothing that God does not know about us. But what God knows about us that is most important is that we have a need. Our sin is separated from God. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says that there's none righteous, no, not one. You might be a good person. You might be better than your neighbor, better than maybe other people in your family. But the truth about us is that there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God knows that our sin has separated us from God, and that only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can we be forgiven of our sin and receive God's gift of eternal life. You know, has there ever been a time in your life when you've looked at the Bible, you understood that God loves you, that His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for your sin, that He paid the price for your sin, and that you could be forgiven by faith in Him? That's what God desires us to know. He desires us to know that way of salvation. Jesus said it this way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm not down here this afternoon to speak about a religion. I'm here to speak about Jesus Christ, the Savior. One is the way, the only way, to enter into the presence of God. So God, again, desires that. God is not against us, but God is against our sin. The Bible says that your iniquities have separated between you and God, and your sins have hid His face, that He will not hear you. Our sin is the very thing that we hold on to, but it's the very thing also that separates us from God. It's an indelible mark upon the soul of man. When we sin against God, it's not something that we can get rid of by ourselves. The Bible says, though God wash me with nitre, and take me much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. There's nothing that you or I can do to get rid of our sin, but Jesus Christ made a way through His shed blood on the cross to wash away our sin. Praise God, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. It's awesome today to know for sure that your sins are forgiven. You know that, my friend. You know for sure if you die, that you go to heaven. You know for sure that there is a God. You know, the Bible begins with those precious words, in the beginning, God. You know, God created the heaven and the earth. Without Him, it's not anything great that was made. He is the creator, designer. He's the one that made the blueprints for our life. And because He made He made our lives, He understands what makes us tick. He understands what's best for us. And He's given us a book that tells us how to know Him in a personal way. So praise God that you can know Him in a personal way. The Bible says that He's given us a power to those that believe in His name, that we should become a child of God. Friend, are you a child of God? A lot of people think, well, if I live and if I breathe and if I'm a human, then I'm a child of God. But the Bible says, actually, Jesus said to some false preachers in His day, ye are of your father, the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. A lot of people today defend lies. They say white lies, or lies are no big deal type idea, or lies that help people, yet vice or characteristic of Satan himself. And the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. God doesn't want to send us there. That's why his son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sin. I praise God today that Jesus Christ didn't pay a part of the price for our sin, but that Jesus Christ paid the full price for our sin. The Bible says it this way: while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God, today God loves us. You might say to me, Ben, how do I know that God loves me? I know that God loves me today because he took his son, his holy son, his precious son, and put him on the cross of shame, the cross of suffering, the cross where our sin was placed upon him. God the Father did that out of love for us. The Bible says that while we're yet sinners, again, Christ died for us. It says in Isaiah 53 that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement and the punishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friend, today, if you don't have the blood of Christ upon your heart and upon your life, you are in your sin. And in our sin, when we stand before God, the Bible says this: it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Every single one of us is going to stand before God at some point. We're going to give an account of our life, what we've done, what we've said. The Bible says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. There's plenty of people today that say the name of God is a curse. There's plenty of people today that use profanity and things like that. But the Bible says everything like that in our lives, we're going to give an account to a holy God for it. Friends, are you ready for that judgment today? To stand before a holy God and to give an account of your life before that holy God. And the thing is that if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you don't have what you need to go to heaven when you die. Every single one of us needs Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That means this: everybody that's walking by today that has Jesus Christ in their heart as their Lord and Savior, they have everlasting life. But everybody today that does not have Jesus Christ as their Savior, the steps they are taking are steps on their way to hell for all eternity. Again, it's not something that God desires to do. In fact, God did everything he could to keep somebody from going to hell. He took his son, his precious son, his only son, Jesus Christ, and he put him on that cross of shame where he suffered and he died for our sin. You might wonder today, hey Ben, what is it about the cross? Why did Jesus Christ have to die? Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we have earned because of our sin is death, not just a physical death, but eternal death in a lake of fire. It speaks about that in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. It says, in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Everyone whose name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Again, that's not good news today. That's very sad news today, to think that there's people today that are living life, and they're living life for things. They're living life for money. They're living life for simple pleasure. They're living life for work and other things like that. The problem with that is they're not preparing themselves for eternity. The Bible says that, again, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Every single one of us has to be ready to stand before God on that day. And I pray, friend, that when you stand before God on that day, you stand with the blood of Christ applied to your heart and applied to your life. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. There's plenty of people today that think, I was Christian, then I'm okay because I was Christian. But the Bible says, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified or declared righteous in his sight. It's not something that we can earn by being Christian. It's not something that we can earn by being religious or by doing good things. It's only by the free gift of God that we can receive God's gift of everlasting life. We have to repent of our sin and put our faith in the Son of God, Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but this life, first of all, is pretty rough. A lot of people say to me, man, if there is a God, why is it dying? Why is there death? Why is there sorrow? Why is there sickness? Well, the answer to that is found in the first books of the Bible. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man transgressed God's law. God opened up the our band opened up the box that Jeff Darrell's sickness is a result of their sin against God. God in his mercy provided a way of forgiveness. God in his mercy provided a way through Jesus Christ for salvation. He provided a cleansing for man. He provided a covering for our sin. It's called an atonement. It's made to make us at one with God. Again, to unite us back to God, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to put him on the cross, to die on the cross for our sin. It's amazing that God did that. There's a lot of people today that blaspheme God, they mock God, they laugh at God, they curse God, they ignore God, they never thank God. And to think today that God, despite that, loves them. That God, despite that, cares for them. You know, I praise God today that I can look at anybody that's walking past and I can say, look, God loves you, God cares about you, God desires to save you. But I can say this as well, God does not love your sin. God does not embrace darkness. God does not embrace unbelief and ungodliness and the hard heart of man against God. God hates that. God hates the sin because the sin separates us from God. It's our iniquities that have come between us and God. It's our sin that has hid his face from us. If we would deal with our sin through the blood of Christ, we could be forgiven. You know, the things that we defend are things that destroy us. Cigarettes get cancer. Alcohol gets cancer. Sexual promiscuity breaks sexual disease and things like that. People defend that. You know, and very sadly today, if somebody goes to the pub, if somebody drinks, their mates pat them on the back, say, hey, that's great. Hey, you know what? Good for you. If they're sexual sinners and they come out and say, I'm a great sexual sinner, they pat them on the back, they say, hey, that's great. But where are the people that'll pat somebody on the back that says, I'm somebody that believes the Bible, I'm somebody that's going to follow God, I'm somebody that's going to go to church, I'm somebody that's going to raise a good family, I'm somebody that's going to take a stand for what's right and what's true. Very sadly, there's a lot of people that pat me on the back for doing all sorts of sinful and wicked things, and they encourage you in those things. But hey, there's not a room that needs life for somebody that would look at us and say, hey, just follow God. Hey, just stand for God. Just, hey, learn about God. Learn about eternity. You might say, Ben, I've never been to church. I don't know what that's all about. Can I tell you this? In the last several months in our church, we've had several people that have come to church. They've never been to church in their life. To them, church was a completely foreign idea. But they're interested in truth. They're interested in their souls. They're interested in their family. And the burden that they've got from life, from sin and drugs and drink and things, has brought them to the point, finally, where by the grace of God, they're looking around, they're saying, right, I need answers about life. And I can praise God today that this book has the answer. This book has the answer that anybody needs that walks past today. This book tells us about God. It tells us about Jesus Christ. And again, you might laugh at this book and say, Ben, that's just a book. Well, can I tell you about this book? It is written by 44 human authors with 66 books written over 1,500 years, and it all agrees. How could a man do that? How could men sit down and say, I'm going to write a book. There's going to be 44 of us that write all these books. We're going to put them together over 1,500 years, and it's all going to make sense. Only God could do that. This book has prophecy in it. In Psalm chapter 22, it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says they pierced his hands and his feet. It says they cast lots upon his vesture. And that means they gambled for his clothing. You might say, Ben, what's the big deal about that? Well, that was written 1,000 years before the cross. 1,000 years before Jesus Christ died, this book said how he would die. This book said where he would be born. This book said all the truth about his life. Some 200 prophecies about Jesus Christ have been told and fulfilled in the life of Christ. And I look at that and I say again, only God. Friend, have you looked up recently at the weather that we've been having? We've been having rain. And that water cycle is taking place. And that water cycle testifies that there is a God. The Bible says it this way. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no place, no nation, no language where their voice is not heard. And praise God today, that witness for God is everywhere in life. Those trees give us oxygen by which we breathe. Praise God. If they didn't do that, we couldn't live. It's called symbiotic relationships. Those things that are interdependence, the things that we have to have life. We've got to be the right distance from the sun. We've got to be the right distance from the moon. And we can look around and say, hey, I'm so glad that just happened. Or we can look up and say, praise God, that happened. Praise God, there's a designer that's all wise that made it like this. And he didn't just give us this, he gave us this. He gave us a book. that testifies about who he is, that speaks about his love. For God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died as a thief on the cross, and he died for thieves that were on the cross. One of those thieves on the cross looked at Jesus Christ, and he said to the Lord, he said, "Lord, remember me in paradise." The Lord looked at him and said, "Behold, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise." That thief on the cross recognized his sin. That thief on the cross recognized his Savior. He put his faith in the Son of God who is dying on the cross beside him, and he received God's gift of everlasting life. Friend, it is a gift. It's not something you have to earn. It's not by religion. It's not by good works. It's by faith in what Christ did as he paid the price for our sin at Calvary. Oh, it's a precious story. You might think, well, that's for Sunday school. That's for children, you know? But I'll tell you this, it's for adults. It's never too late to stop and to think about God. A lot of parents don't care if their kids are on devices all the time. They don't care if they're playing video games all the time. But for some reason, they're scared to let them go to church. They're scared to let them read the Bible. They're scared to let them think about God. But I would say this, as a good parent, you ought to encourage your kid. Pick up that book of all books, the Bible, and begin to read it. Look for yourself and see who God is. The Bible says in the book of John, at the end of that book, that these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. God's greatest desire is to give you not just physical life, but to give you everlasting life. God desires to give you that eternal life. He purchased it. He paid it in full. There's nothing left for you to pay. Jesus Christ paid it all. And praise God, he did. He took our sin upon him on the cross. The Bible says he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed it to his cross. Jesus Christ died as if he were a sexual sinner. He died as if he was a cigarette a smoker. He died as if he was a blasphemer. He died as if he was a liar. He died in our place, taking our sin upon him on the cross. Jesus Christ loves us today. You know, when Jesus Christ was here on this earth, they mocked him and they laughed at him. They called him the friend of publicans, thieves, and sinners. You know, praise God, he was. But he didn't love their sin. He loved to set them free from their sin. He loved to give them what he has that nobody else has. Jesus Christ can give life. Jesus Christ can give hope. Jesus Christ can give peace. Jesus Christ can give you everything that you need, right? He's able to meet your needs. He's able to provide everything that he has for you. The answer is Christ. Jesus Christ said it this way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus Christ promotes truth. And a lot of people today, they slander this book. They say myths, legends, Chinese whispers, stories. They mock this book of all books. And yet this is still God's Bible. This is still God's truth. This is still the book that can change our life and make our life worth living. The Bible says it this way. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Suicide is not the answer, Christ is. Drugs are not the answer, Christ is. Gambling is not the answer, Christ is. All those things, all those vices destroy life. Somebody thinks, well, if I can just get ahead, I'll just buy another lottery ticket, I'll just gamble a wee bit more at the bookie. But it's empty, it doesn't satisfy. It's a piece of paper. It's bringing incredible debt financially into people's lives. It's destroying families. It's something like 3% of people in Britain are addicted to gambling. And yet that is never going to satisfy. If they win big, it's going to be empty. And when they stand before God, nobody can take the money that they have and pay for their soul to go to heaven. The Bible says, if you gain the whole world and lost your own soul, what does it profit? What does it profit if a man has everything? Somebody could be like Donald Trump or some other wealthy person, and they can buy everything that they want in life, but it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. And say somebody has everything, but they don't have Christ, and they die, and they spend eternity in hell. It wasn't worth it. It was empty. Jesus Christ is the crucifixion. the crucified Son of God. Jesus Christ is the one that died for us. He's the one that paid the price for our sin. He's the Messiah. He's the one that loves us. Can I tell you about that? There's a man, John was a slave.
The colonialism.
John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. And Amazing Grace was written by a man that repented of slavery and who helped abolish slavery in Britain. He encouraged MP to get rid of slavery. And so praise God for that, right? God cares about that, and God is gracious to give that. And so John Newton wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. And again, why am I speaking about that? Because he's speaking about slavery. John was a slave ship owner, but in the mercy of God, he got saved. He got with William Wilberforce, the MP down in England that was a Christian, and they abolished slavery in Britain. And so praise God, there have been Christians that have taken a great stand against slavery and have successfully abolished it and participated in that. So yes, praise God. And I'll tell you this about the Bible as well. The Bible promotes a love for every society, a love for all people, because the Bible teaches that we all come from Adam and Eve, that we all are descendants of Noah. And praise God, today God loves all of us. Again, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, the main thing is that we need Jesus Christ as our Savior. The main thing is we can't justify ourselves by saying our sin is okay. Today, politicians are trying to say that sin is okay. Educators are trying to say that sin is okay. Society is trying to say that sin is okay. Social media is trying to say sin is okay. But that does not remove the stain of our sin. That does not cleanse our heart before a holy God. And praise God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, has made a way for man to be forgiven. Again, I go back to a verse that I love to preach down here. That verse is, "While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarce as for a righteous man would one die, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, praise God today. It's not just people that go to church that God loves. It's not just people that maybe are married and in a committed relationship that God loves. But I can tell you today that God loves somebody that is deep in sin. God loves somebody that maybe is overwhelmed by sin. Maybe nobody knows it, but that person, if they could, they just want help. They want deliverance from the drugs. They want deliverance from maybe the sexual sin that's in their life. They want deliverance from the guilt of something that they've done in their life that condemns them and proves to them that there is a God, because evolution can't explain a guilty conscience. Evolution can't explain that voice that condemns us. But they need help, and they need hope, and they're reaching out. Can I say to anybody like that today that the answer is God, and that the answer is Jesus Christ, and that God stands ready to forgive us, that God in his mercy desires to give us his gift of everlasting life? And again, it's through that precious person, Jesus Christ. The Christ is the anointed one. He's the Savior. He's the one that came and died on the cross for our sin. Friend, do you know Jesus Christ in a personal way? Has there ever been a time where you personally put your faith in him? Father, I pray by the grace of God, I pray the Spirit of God would speak to hearts today in your mercy. And I pray, God, that someone gets saved. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Don't forget to put that button. What?
We're just down here sharing some truth from the Bible, just thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people think, well, Jesus was just a man, wasn't he? Well, actually, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God. How would I know that from the Word of God? Well, the Bible says that God is the Creator. The Word of God also says about Jesus, the Bible says, without him was not anything made that was made. So he is the Creator, Designer, God. Also, we know from the Bible that only God could forgive sin, but Jesus on this earth as a man, the Bible says that he forgave sin. He says so that you would know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sin. Jesus Christ also is worship. The Bible says you cannot bow down to anybody other than God. And yet the Bible also tells us that Jesus at his birth was worshipped. That when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, Mary worshipped him. That the disciples worshipped him as he ascended up into heaven. That in the book of Hebrews it says God commands the angels to worship Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, you read about the future, you read about Jesus Christ being worshipped in heaven. What does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus Christ is God. How does that help me? Well, it helps me understand what religion is true and what is not. Any religion that does not teach that Jesus Christ is God in flesh is a false religion according to this book. This book says that Jesus Christ is God. This book says that Jesus Christ has God in the flesh, went to the cross of shame to die there for our sins. Praise God that he did. And if you wonder, what's the crucifixion about? How did that happen? Jesus Christ laid down his life for us at Calvary. The Son of God went willingly to that cross of shame. He could have defended himself. He could have spoken out, but he didn't. He allowed himself to be abused. As they took him in that garden, they took him to Caiaphas' house. There at that judgment hall, Jesus Christ was mocked. Jesus Christ was accused of different things, and they had false witnesses come that lied about Jesus Christ at that time, but Jesus didn't say anything to defend himself. They took Jesus Christ before King Herod, and King Herod's men dressed Jesus up like a king. They put a crown of thorns Upon his brow, they pierced his brow. They plucked out his beard. They blindfolded him, and they smote him, and they spat upon him. They took Jesus Christ down to another hall. They had a chain in the ceiling and in the floor. They bound him to those chains, stretched his body out, took a cat of nine tails, and began to whip the flesh off the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. From that place, they took him out, and he carried his cross up to the Mount of the Skull, up to Golgotha. And there at Golgotha, they took the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they nailed him to the cross. They took the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they nailed his feet to the cross. And there Jesus Christ was placed upon that cross of shame. That cross was dropped into the ground. As they dropped it into the ground, the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ were pulled out of joint, and Jesus Christ began to suffer on that cross of shame for us. For 6 hours, he hung there. For 6 hours in agony, pulling himself up the tree to his chair, and then he looked at the people that crucified him, and he said this to his Father. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did." There on that cross, he cried out some other words. On the cross of shame, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus Christ was God forsaken on that cross because of us, because of our sin. Our sin was put upon Jesus Christ on the cross, and when that sin was put upon Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Son were separated for the first time in eternity past and will never happen again in eternity future. But they were separated because God the Father took our sin and put it upon his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. Why? Because if Jesus didn't do that when we died, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Every single one of us, when we die, will stand before God and will give an account for our life, and the books will be opened, and the dead will be judged out of things that are written therein. In that book will be written all the things that we've ever said that are against God. The Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Everything that we've said will give account thereof. You know, plenty of people today take God's name in vain. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Oh, a lot of people today say, oh my God, they see Jesus Christ, they see Christ the Lord, and all these things, and they say, I don't mean anything by it. That's what vain means. God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. When that person stands before God, there are some people that are going to give an account that's very long for all the times they used profanity, all the times that they used their mouth in a wicked way. And yet that's not the only sin. It's anything that we do against God as well. Anything that somebody has stolen, anything abuse that they've given out to somebody else, anything, any way that they've been sexually promiscuity and things like that, the sin that they've committed sexually, they will be judged for that when they stand before a holy God. You know, there's going to be a great account on that day. Everybody that has viewed pornography, Jesus said it this way, whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. God says that if you hate somebody, it's like the sin of murder. And so the account that men are going to give before a holy God is a long account. And yet Jesus Christ, when he died to pay the price for our sin. He died for us so that we could be forgiven. He died so that we could have God's gift of everlasting life. It's amazing today that God in his mercy would look at us and say, hey, I care enough about you that my son Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven, so that you could receive God's gift of everlasting life. Again, the Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's amazing to think, again, to just lay your head on your pillow at night and to reflect on the love of God. To understand the goodness of God that he gives us every day. We've had everything this week that we need for life. He's provided food for us. He's given us rain to grow the grass. He's given us sunshine. And he's given us a beautiful summer here in Scotland. We've got the beautiful scenery that's all around us. He's given us friends. He's given us family. And, you know, it would be our best, in our best interest to go to God and to say to God, God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. A lot of times, Ben, people say to me, Ben, you know what? What's the big deal about being an atheist? Why is it so bad? Well, it'd be like going to the National Gallery here, seeing a beautiful painting, and walking in and saying, this happened when an explosion took place in a paint factory. And the painter is there, and he's looking at that, and he's like, hey, wait a second, I'm the artist. I designed that. I made that. I created that. It's beautiful. Give me glory for that which I've done. When people look at what God has done, and they refuse to thank him, refuse to praise him, and they pretend like some explosion happened that just made all the design and everything that we see, it's to rob God of his glory. We ought to bow our heads before God and say, God, wow, look at what you've done. It's created. It's amazing. The design that you've given and the people that you've given. Every single one of us is different. God has given us individuality. He's given us personality. He's given us intellect. He's given us a conscience. There's such a multidimensional being that man is. The Bible says we're not just who our body is, but that we have a soul. We have a soul that will live somewhere forever. That soul will either be cast into hell for all eternity, or that soul will enter into heaven with Christ for all eternity. Friend, do you know for sure if you died, you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure that if you were to die, you'd stand before God, and God would allow you into glory? And if you were to think about it today, and God were to say to you, and my name's Ben, say he said to me, Ben, why should I let you into heaven? Or he said to you, your name, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say today? What would be the thing that you'd say, this is why God should let me into heaven, that I have this in my life or this in my life? You know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, I've been a good person. I've tried to treat people kindly. I've tried to follow the golden rule. You know, I've tried to do those things. Is that good enough? Does God accept that? Does God say, well, hey, you're a pretty good person? What does the Bible say about that? Well, the Bible says in Romans 3, verse 10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. It says in Romans 3, 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us has transgressed God's law. So for me to stand before God and say, look, God, I'm a good person. Well, you know, I don't know that God's going to buy that. All you have to do is say, law, come here, and ask the law, hey, has Ben ever lied? Has he ever lusted? Has he ever coveted? Has he ever taken something that wasn't his? Has he ever, you know, disobeyed his parents? You know, the law is going to say, guilty, guilty, guilty. So somebody that's trusting in their religion, trusting in their goodness, they stand before God, it's not going to cut it. The only thing that will help us to stand before God is that Jesus Christ made it all when he died on the cross for our sins, that we personally have put our faith in Jesus Christ. Again, the Word of God says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things that will lift up to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Again, many times I'll talk to people and I'll say to them, you know for sure if you die, you're going to heaven. They might be a religious person and they'll say something like, I hope so. You know, and I want to. They know they desire to go to heaven, but they don't really have a no-so salvation. God doesn't want us to have a hope-so salvation. He does desire us to know for sure that if we die, that we're going to heaven. Again, how do we know that? We know that if we have Christ as our Savior. These things that are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Friend, I got saved as a little boy. I heard my dad preach a message on hell. He preached about what hell is, that it's a fire, that it's eternal, that it's separation from God. I looked at those things as a little boy and I thought in my heart, you know what? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I were to die today, God would go to hell. Because I knew I had sinned in my life. I knew I'd broken God's law, and I knew that the punishment for that was hell. I went down to my dad's study and I said to my dad, Dad, I'd like to get saved. I'd like to have Jesus Christ as my Savior. He showed me that Jesus Christ, when he died, he paid the price for my sin. That he didn't stay in the grave, but that he rose from the dead. And that by faith in him, I could be forgiven. As a little boy, I bowed my head. I said something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. If you died for me, you paid the complete price for my sin. I'd like you to ask you to forgive me of my sin and save me. Praise God, at that moment, I went from death unto life. I was no longer on my way to hell, but I was on my way to heaven. Not because I got religion, but because I got the Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in my heart. I don't wonder today if there is a God. I know there's a God. I don't wonder today if I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You might say, Ben, how is it that you know that? Well, I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Nobody can ever convince me that there is no God. Nobody can ever convince me that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for my sin, because I know my Savior in a personal way. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Praise God today. Somebody that has accepted Jesus Christ has God's gift of everlasting life. Friend, do you have that? God is not against you. God is against your sin, because your sin has separated you from God. But if you get honest about your sin, you'll come to the light. Jesus Christ is the light. The Bible says about God, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Satan is darkness. Satan's a deceiver. Satan is one that has led many people astray. He's led them down paths of folly. He's led them down paths of destruction. The Bible says about that, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Few there be that find it. God wants you to find that way. You may wonder, well, how do I find that way? Pick up a Bible. Begin to look at the Word of God. You may say, Ben, I could never believe. Pick up the Bible. Let it build your faith. Let it teach you about God. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you just take the time to pick up that book, if you can read, to read the Word of God. If you can't read, get an audible Bible. Get an app on your phone and download KJV Bible and begin to listen to the Bible. I encourage you to listen to the book of John. The book of John says, in chapter 20, it says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. God desires to bring you to faith. God desires to give you his gift of everlasting life. He wants to lead you to eternity with him. So praise God for that. Oh, it's awesome today to think that there's a holy God that loves you. It's awesome today to understand that there's a Savior that died for you. It's awesome to understand that there is eternal life through Christ. It is awesome to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven when you die. Oh, God is good today. If you tasted and seen that the Word is good, you can testify with me and say, hey, I know this truth to be the truth, that there is a Savior. Let me encourage you, if you're a believer, take the time to take a stand for Christ. Take the opportunity to speak to your friends about Jesus. This world is big on sin. They're big on standing up for sin. They get their flag out, they fly their banner, and they promote their sin. Start promoting Christ. Start talking frequently about him. Start speaking unashamedly about him. Start picking up that book of all books and reading it, maybe in a public place, reading it on the bus, reading it in the public square, letting people see you take out that book, unashamedly identify with God. Praise God for his joy. You know, it's a great thing to be a Christian. It's a great thing to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's a great thing as a parent to be able to teach your children and say, you know what? This is what God says about eternal life. This is what God says about marriage. This is what God says about family. This is what God says about hope. So praise God that he's there for us. Praise God that he's there to meet our needs and to encourage us and to show us his love and to show us his mercy and to show us his hope. Oh, it's an awesome thing today to have the joy of the Lord. It's an awesome thing to have the light in your soul, not because of drugs, not because of drink, not because of something that's going to pick you up and drop you down hard, but from something that is eternal, something that is life-changing, something that will give you peace and joy and contentment, and that thing is Jesus Christ. Friend, do you know him today? You know the Savior. You know the one that can set free from sin. You know the one that gives hope, the one that gives peace, the one that gives life. That's a Bible. That's some truth there, all right? And praise God for this book. It's a precious book. Isaiah 53 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You might say, Ben, what's the big deal about that? I get that. That's talking about Jesus. The big deal about that is that's written 700 years before the cross. 700 years before Jesus Christ died, it spoke about the Savior that would die on the cross for our sin. 1,000 years before the cross and the crucifixion of Christ, it says in Psalm 22, they pierced his hand in the seat. They cast lots upon his vesture. Only God could do that. Hey, praise God, there is a God. He's reaching out today. Friend, won't you listen to him? Father, I praise you for the grace that you give. I pray that the Spirit of God would awaken the hearts of those that have heard the word of God today, that they come to saving faith. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Teníamos miedo a perder.
Hispanic church was hearing about God. You may say, who is God? Then I can't see God. Listen, if I hid behind the ice cream truck and you heard my voice out here preaching from the speaker, you know there's got to be somebody somewhere talking. You know, God's like that. You can't see him, but you can hear him talk. You can look around at his creation shouts that there is a God. The Bible says the heavens declare that there is the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. It's in his creation speaking to us. Why? Because God wants us to know him. God designed us to walk with him. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God would come down in the cool of the evening, and he would walk with Adam and Eve in that garden. He gave them one rule in the garden. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Plenty of people today say, man, I don't believe in God because there's death, sorrow, sickness, and all those things. They think because of that, that God messed up if there is a God. But that's not it. God designed it perfectly. In fact, the Bible says that every day is God created. God looked around at it, and God said it was good. Well, we know today that death, sorrow, sickness aren't good. They weren't there in God's original creation. So how did they get there? Well, God, when he created us, he didn't design us as robots. God didn't make us to be people that would be yes people that would only do what God said. God gave us a choice. God gave us a will. We value that more than anything. If I were to try to take that away from anybody today, say, you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that, somebody say, well, who are you to tell me what to do? I have my rights. I can do what I want to do. We value that. God gave that to us. Well, when God gave it to us, he had to make a choice there in the garden for us. He gave us a tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said to Adam and Eve about that tree, he said, you can eat of every tree that's in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou must not eat thereof. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death is a result of man's rebellion against God. Death is a result of our disobedience to God's clear command. God believes in what you and I have done so many times, and they violated the law of God. Again, you might wonder, well, what is sin? Sin, the Bible says, is a transgression of the law. You might wonder, what law? Well, the law that God gave us, the law that's in this book, the perfect law of God that testifies about life. It tells us about how to treat our neighbor. It tells us about what marriage is. It tells us about where life begins. It tells us about the sanctity of life, the protection for life, and how to treat people right, and how to treat God right. God made that law for our good. You might say to me, well, Ben, why is God so against many people's lifestyle? Why is he against the things that we want to do that violate his law? He's against those things because those things hurt us. Those things hurt us. They hurt our relationships. They hurt others. And they hurt our relationship with God. And so God is against our sin today, but God's not against us. God is for us. God is so much for us that he took his son, Jesus Christ, and he put him on the cross of shame for our sin. That verse I love to preach more than any other verse down here says this, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, it's amazing today to think that somebody would love us enough to die for us. I'd struggle to die for you. You'd probably struggle to die for me, but Jesus Christ died for all of us when he died on that cross. He is the Savior. He's the one that can sanctify us from our sin. He can set us apart from our sin. Our sin is an indelible stain upon our soul. It's something that has separated us from God. But God stands willing to forgive us. God stands willing to give us this cleansing. God stands willing to not only cleanse us of our sin, but give us his gift of everlasting life. It's amazing that God in his mercy would do that. It's amazing that he would care enough to look at us, people going their way, never thinking about God, never going to church, never thinking of a Bible, maybe mocking God, laughing about God, living a life that is against God, and yet to think today that God loves that person, that God cares for them, that God understands that sin that they're carrying is a burden on their back and that it's weighing them down, that God has desires to set them free from the burden of their sin. The hymn writer put it this way, burdens are lifted at Calvary. A lot of people today have that heaviness upon their heart. They try to escape that heaviness by contemplating suicide or by doing drugs or by drink or by relationships and things like that. But none of those things satisfy. Only Jesus Christ satisfies. Jesus Christ is the water of life. Jesus Christ is the one that if somebody will drink of Jesus Christ, they'll never thirst again, because Jesus Christ satisfies the greatest need that's in the heart of men, and that is the need for Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. You might wonder today, well, Ben, I don't really believe in God. I don't really believe in Jesus Christ. Well, listen, friend, He believes in you. Jesus Christ knows all about you. There's nothing about you that Jesus Christ doesn't know. God not only knows who we are, where we are, but God knows our thoughts. God knows our heart. There's no secret sin from God. Somebody can hide themselves anywhere they please, and yet God sees it, God knows it, God's got a record of it. And everything that man has committed against God, they're going to give an account thereof before God. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Every single one of us is going to stand before God. God does not want us to stand there in our sin. God desires us to stand there cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, praise God for the power of the blood. Praise God for the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can take a sinner and make him a saint. That can take somebody that's a drunkard and make him a good husband or a loving father by the grace and the power of God. God is able to take somebody and make him a new creation, a new creature. Praise God for that power. God has the power to give life, and He has the power to give everlasting life. Oh, do you know that today, friend? Has there ever been a time in your life where you bowed your head before a holy God and you put your faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for your sin? Oh, He loves us today. He's not against us, He's for us. He desires His gospel to go around the world. He desires His truth, that good news, that a sinner can be forgiven, that a sinner can be set free, and that a sinner can receive God's gift of everlasting life. God desires us to know that today. Well, friend, do you know that? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've looked at the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, and you've read those precious verses in the Bible, like John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friend, it doesn't say whosoever that goes to church, whosoever is Christian, whosoever is a good person, whosoever is religious, but whosoever believeth in the Son of God, whoever trusts in Jesus Christ. Why do we need to do that? Well, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says about that sin that the wages of sin is death, that the punishment for our transgressions against God will be eternity in the lake of fire. Nobody will be able to stand before God and say, "Well, God, I just didn't know." He's given us a book. He's given us a testimony in His creation that there is a God. He's given us a book that spells out the way to God by faith through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. When we stand before God, nobody will be able to say, "But I was ignorant. I didn't know." Anybody in this life can pick up the book, the Bible, and begin to learn about God. Anybody can pick up this book and begin to read about Jesus Christ and what He did as He died on the cross for our sin. Friend, have you ever looked at that? You ever picked up this book with your family and began to read it and say, "We're going to read the Bible together as a family"? I encourage you, if you're going to do that, pick up the Bible, open up to the Gospel of John, and begin to read about the life of Christ. Begin to read about the Son of God and how He came, His love and His care and His concern. Jesus Christ healed people of their physical infirmities, showing that He had the power to save men in their physical life, but also demonstrating His compassion that He had. On today, if Jesus were to stand here and look at the mass of people down here in Edinburgh, Jesus Christ would be moved in His soul with compassion. He would look at people as sheep having no shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He's the one that gave His life for the sheep. He would desire to take you as a sheep into His fold. Well, friend, are you in Christ's fold? Be your shepherd. A lot of people in the funeral, they like to have read Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, today, very sadly, He's not the shepherd of most people, because most people don't desire to be His sheep. The Bible says it this way: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I know this today: if you're not following Jesus Christ, He's not your shepherd. If you're not following Jesus Christ, then He's not the one that's leading you. He's not the one that's guiding you. But Jesus Christ is the only one that leads to heaven. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is not just a good man. Jesus Christ is not just a prophet. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He became flesh so that he could die on the cross for our sin. He became a man so that he could be a sinless sacrifice that would go to that cross and pain, that would die on the cross for us. Why would he do that, friend? Jesus Christ did that because he would look at us again and he sees the faces and he sees the life and he understands the sorrow and he understands the heartache and he understands the emptiness of a life that is lived without him. And he's reaching out in love. He's reaching out with desire. He's reaching out with compassion, desirous of people that would humble their heart and bow before him and acknowledge that he is who he says he is, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is Almighty God. Jesus Christ is the one before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, friend, someday your knee will bow before God. Don't wait until it's a forced bow. Don't wait until you have to bow. Bow now before God and bend your heart before God and acknowledge who he is. Acknowledge who Jesus Christ is, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Again, that precious verse, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You might say to me, Ben, God can't love me. My heart's been against God. My life's been against God. I blaspheme God. I curse God. Can I tell you, my friend, if you're breathing, God loves you. If you're breathing, God cares for you. If you're breathing, God can change your life. God can set you free from your sin. Listen, laughter doesn't bother me. They mock Christ. They laughed at Christ. But listen, as he died, he looked down at them. He said this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did. All people that laugh today, they'll not be laughing at an example for God. They'll not be laughing when they face the holy God of all eternity. They give an account for a life that was lived against God. At that moment, there's going to be terror that will fill their soul as they face the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As they face the one that they lived a life mocking and they lived a life against. Oh, I don't want to be that person on that day. I want to be that person on that day that Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Praise God. God desires to do that for you today. God desires to set you free. All you have to do is look at the cross. All you have to do is understand that the Savior there on the cross, that he paid the complete price for your sin, that he was wounded, that he died, that he suffered, that he was in agony because he took your sin upon him on the cross. Well, praise God today that he did that. Praise God today that he cared enough to do that. There's something like 8 billion people on this planet. If evolution was true, explain this. The last 150 years, we've gone from primitive medicine to gene therapy. We've gone from sending telegrams to incredible communications and things like that. 100 years is just a flip on the supposed record of evolution of billions and millions of years. But it makes sense when we understand that there's a creator designer. It makes sense when this world is only 6,500 years old that God designed it with age. A lot of people think, well, Ben, how can it be that rock state this or that? Well, Adam, when Adam was created, he was created as a man. When God said, let there be light, there was light. It was as if it had always been in existence. This world was not created young. This world was created with age. This world was created by God. The Bible says that in Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And praise God today, there's a creator. If it wasn't for a creative designer, there would be no justice. People would get away with things in life. They go mass murder somebody, commit suicide, that would be it. They'd get away with it. Listen, they didn't get away with it because they're going to stand before a holy God and they're going to give an account for everything that they've ever done in their life. Praise God, they will because they're justice. Anybody that's been abused, know this, that person is going to stand before God. They're going to give an account of that abuse before a holy God. And friend, yes, I can say today, every sin that we've ever committed, we also will give an account to God. If it's not under the blood, if we've not received the mercy of God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for our sin, we will also stand before God guilty. God does not desire to do that, my friend. God desires to give us his gift of everlasting life. God desires to take our sin away. That's why he died. He died to pay the price for our sin. He died so that we could be forgiven. He died so that we could have God's gift of everlasting life, so that you could stand up someday and testify to others and say, I know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when I die, I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm a good person, but because I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. Friend, have you done that? Has there ever been a time in your life where you put your faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, God desires that today. God desires to give you his gift of everlasting life. The last thing God desires to do is to cast you into hell. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, God is not against you, God is for you. God does not desire a single person to die and to go to hell. God desires you to go saved. God desires to give you his gift of everlasting life. Oh, friend, our prayer today would be that you get saved, that you bow the knee before Holy God to receive his gift of eternal life. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God as it's been preached today. Father, in your mercy, I pray that many would be saved. I pray for revival in Edinburgh. I pray for a great day of truth again to God. I pray for parents again to pick up this book of all books and begin to read it with their children. Father, begin to follow it with their lives. I praise you for the power of the gospel. I praise you for the power of the Word of God. I praise you for your ability to bring people to saving faith. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
But guess I'll tell you more in just a second. Let me turn this off. Now the other guy knew the Lord.